Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
On the cover of an August issue of Time magazine announced that infidelity may be linked to our genes. The article was entitled, "Our Cheating Hearts," written by Robert Wright. It began with these words, "The language of zoology used to be so reassuring. Human beings were called a pair bonding species. Lasting monogamy, it seemed, was natural for us, just as it was for geese, swans, and other winged creatures and other birds. Family values, some experts said, were in our genes. In the 1968 bestseller, The Naked Ape, zoologist Desmond Morris wrote that the evolution purpose for human sexuality is to maintain the family unit. And then Robert Wright went on to say this, "According to evolutionary psychology, it is natural for both men and women at some time to commit adultery or to sour on a mate suddenly, to find a spouse unattractive, irritating, wholly unreasonable. It may even be natural to find an attractive colleague, superior on all accounts to the sorry wreck of a spouse you are saddled with at home." Wow. That depressing viewpoint came from an evolutionary psychologist, and that is what you would expect from such a person like that. You need to remember that if you go to a secular marriage counselor, it is more than likely that that counselor has taken courses on evolutionary psychology. In fact, I have talked to church members who have been to a secular counselor and was shocked to discover that on the very first visit, they were counseled and advised to get a divorce. Why? Because it's in your genes. It's hereditary. There's just no way to help it. I want to say that we do ourselves no favors by finding convenient atheistic philosophy to hide behind so that we can keep doing what it is we want to do and feed our desires, when what we should do is review what God has to say about the subject and then develop a strategy and a plan of discipline so that we can be obedient to Him. And my purpose tonight is not trying to make everyone miss out on all the fun in life, but I do want you to listen to what I have to say in God's Word and then make up your mind about your future, about your family, yes, even about your fun. I want you to know that from the outset, I have no intent on laying guilt or hurt on anyone. Tonight, my purpose is not to tell you what you have done wrong in the past, for you already know that. But I hope that we can prevent hurt and tragedy in our families and our families to be. It seems to me that for years in the church that we have run an ambulance service at the bottom of the cliff. And what we do is we pick up the pieces, we put them in the ambulance, we take them to the counselor's office, and we try to put them back together again. When what we ought to be doing is spending more time at the top of the cliff, mending fences and making signs saying, "Don't go this way," because when you hit the bottom, it is so painful, it is so hurtful, and so many lives will be touched. So why don't we do tonight a little preventative maintenance? Let us be encouraged on this subject. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I want to ask the question as what is causing? I mean, what is all of the reason for the infidelity in the world? As we look at verse 16 and 17, I want you to see that if you can find the three things that the writer says is at the core of the cause of so much sexual promiscuity. Verse 16 and verse 17 from Proverbs chapter 2. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Now, did you notice in those couple of verses the three things that happen in a marriage that cause it to be infected with infidelity? What is the cause? Well, first of all, you will notice that there are flattering words. Next, there are forsaken companions. And then there are forgotten promises. Since you're in the book of Proverbs, turn over to chapter 7. Turn to chapter 7. And what I would like to do for you is to read a modern story that could be seen on television on any given night. It really is a story of an affair. Chapter 7, I want to begin in verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she called him and she kissed him with a shameless face. And she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. Now that is a story of infidelity, and it hasn't changed a whole lot over the years, has it? Well, let's go back and let's look at what causes it. First of all, let's look at flattering conversation. It's kind of interesting that James Dobson has written extensively about this, and he said that there are certain voices that lures a person away from the straight life. And he gives four of these voices. He said the first voice that will lure a person away is the voice of pleasure. And the voice says, come and have fun, because life is passing you by. He said the second voice that calls is the voice of romance. Someone cares. Someone is interested in you. Someone wants to love you. And the third voice that calls is the voice of sex. He says the pure pleasure of the physical act. And then the fourth voice is the voice of ego needs. Someone finds you attractive because of your mind, because of your humor, because of your taste, because of your talents. And what James Dobson did was to conduct a survey with those who had committed affairs. And he asked them, what caused it? And he was shocked to discover that sex was at the bottom of the list, while ego needs were at the very top. He said most of these situations begin with not physical attraction at all. He said, but with conversation that met the ego needs. Needs that weren't being met at home. Look again at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. The writer there tells us that the beginning of the process is the seductress who flatters with her words. And then in chapter 7, verse 10, what you will discover is that she dressed like a harlot. She had a crafty heart. But later in that passage, it says, but it was her, listen, enticing speech that caused him to yield. And then it says, and she seduced him with her lips. If you go over to chapter 9, verse 17, these are the words that she may have spoken to him. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Those were her words. So I want to ask you tonight to review the kind of conversation that you have day to day with members of the opposite sex. What kinds of conversation do you allow? Well, infidelity happens not only because of flattering conversation, but also for sake of companions. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. It says, of the immoral woman who has forsaken the companion of her youth. What he is saying is when something goes on that is wrong out there, it's because it happens in here. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15, and let's look for a second, just a moment, of how to prevent this kind of thing. Solomon says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them only be your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Now take your Bibles and turn over to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And here, the Apostle Paul makes this very clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's look at verses 2 through verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through verse 5. He says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And then he says, do not deprive one another except for consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What does Paul say? He says, look, one of the surest defenses that you can have is a defense of a strong relationship between you and your spouse at home. If you want to keep infidelity out of your home, then you keep the flame of romance burning alive. So infidelity occurs because of flattering conversation. Forsaken companions is the next one. And then finally tonight, let's look at forgotten promises. Chapter 2, verse 17 in our text, it says, about this immoral woman, for she has forsaken the companion of her youth, and then here it is, and forgets the covenant of God. I want to say that, unfortunately today, that very little time and space is given to covenant promises. You know, we really don't make just a whole lot of hoopla about our wedding vows, do we? I mean, we say them once, and they're not ever repeated again. And I was reading the other day about a man who advised couples to think creatively how they might be able to let one another know that these promises are still good. And these are some of the things that he said. He said, write out slips of paper containing your wedding vows, those especially that pertain to remaining sexually faithful. He said, at the end, have a clue where your wife may find the next one. He said, maybe mail the first one at home. Then he says, you might call her from home at home and say these words, I made this vow to you 20 years ago and I still mean it. I will keep only unto you as long as we both shall live. He said you might try sending your vows in a telegram. Or he said you might write them on icing on a cake. or maybe engrave them into wood. He talked about one guy who actually spent all day. His wife was gone, and he had twigs, and the man out of twigs spelled out their vows, only to have his wife come home and sweep them off the porch. So, how is it that we can protect ourselves, our marriages, and our families? Well, to begin with, Christians, we have to understand that if we do nothing, we assume that we're above the possibility of infidelity, and we have already taken this first step toward failure. I would never do that. That would never happen to me. I don't say that. And I don't say that because I want it to happen to me, but I say it because I realize and need to understand that I am human, that if I don't put up the proper guards, that it can happen to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, you know, we need to take heed. Take heed, lest you fall. If you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. So we need to protect ourselves. We need to set up hedges. We need to be vigilant. And here's a couple of ways that you can do that. Whenever you dine, meet, or travel with an unrelated man or woman, make sure it's a threesome or a foursome. It's just not the two of you. Make sure that you are not alone. 1 Thessalonians 4:23 says, abstain from sexual immorality, for it is the will of God. And then chapter 5, verse 20 says, abstain from all appearances of evil. And what he's trying to say is, do not let your guard down. Remember when Mrs. Potiphar wanted to get Joseph? The Bible says that she dismissed the whole household so that she could be alone with Joseph. It was a trap. Joseph ran. He lost his coat, but he did not lose his character. Do not ever be alone. Number two, never flirt in jest. So you might think it's funny, but the other person, you might cause them to sin. Number three, be sensitive to the first signs of trouble. When things are just not comfortable, you know that they're not right. You need to run. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee ye also from youthful lust. That's what Joseph did. He ran. He got out of there. It was David who lingered at the top of the house. And he went on to commit adultery. God said, run. As I close tonight, I want to show you the penalty. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. I've got some verses that I want us to read together. I want you to see them. The book of Proverbs, and let's start in chapter 7. Verse 22, he says, immediately he went after her as an ox goes after the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till an arrow struck his liver and a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Verse 25. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Now go to chapter 9, verse 17. Chapter 9, verse 17. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not get burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. You might say, Paul, you know what? I think I can get by with it. No, you won't. It is always found out. You see, what will happen is Satan will let you get by with it until it serves his purposes. And then when the most number of people and the most damage can occur, then he will make it known. Numbers chapter 32, 23 says, your sin will find you out. You will get burned. And it's never just two. It's never just two people. There is a poem that is written, and I want to read it to you tonight. It's by Shannon Pugh. She is a 15-year-old girl, and she wrote it 2 days after her father walked out on her mother. I never thought it would happen to me. How could I have been so naive? There weren't any hints, no problems at all, at least not any that I saw. No one can help you. No one can know how hard it is to watch your daddy go. When I feel so powerless in all of this mess, I have to remember this is just a test. God has picked me out from all the rest to see how strong I can really be. So hard to see your hero slip away when it happened on that terrible dark day. He said, I am sorry, I have to go. Then his emotions begin to show. Your world collapsed, you feel defeated. Why was my family cheated? As he turned to go away, he said he had just one more thing to say. With sadness in his eyes, he said, I love you, but how can this be true? He wants to leave us, but he wants my love too. The emotions I feel are so confused. Sometimes I love him and I hate him too. The emotions I feel is this, the emotion that I feel the strongest of all is the one so strong that could cause me to fall. It's fear. Fear of what will happen to me. Fear as I grow older that this might happen to my family. I know it's all right to cry. Sometimes it's the only thing that helps me get by. But when I begin to feel this way, I have to stop, think, and pray, and ask God for a brand new day. My brothers and sisters, God has given us the commands about marital fidelity not to be cruel to us. But He has put these boundaries around our marriages so that in our families there can be happiness, there can be joy, and there can be healing. You know what happens when the Missouri River, back when Missouri, when it would get out of its banks, and it did several times, there would always be destruction and chaos. And that's what happens when we get outside of the boundaries that God has set for us in regards to our marriage and marriage fidelity. In fact, I know no one who's ever been through it that has come back and said, you know what, that was a pretty good decision that I made. No one. In just a moment, we're going to be standing and singing a song, I Am Resolved. Tonight, will you resolve to make your marriage and your family what God wants it to be? And from time to time, we do need to do this preventative maintenance, because healthy families make healthy churches. Healthy churches make strong nations. Tonight we extend the Lord's invitation. If you have a need, will you please make that need known to us? We love you. We all want to be in heaven together. Maybe it is tonight that you are carrying a burden that you need to share, that you need prayers of this congregation. We'll be willing to pray with you and for you. And if there's sin in your life, God will forgive you if you truly repent. If you need to become a Christian, do that right now as we stand and as we sing.
Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.